I'm Reverend Lisa Day, minister of the Unitarian Universalist Church of Savannah. Welcome to our weekly radio program, where you'll hear a segment from one of our recent services recorded at our church on beautiful Troop Square. We invite you to join us Sundays at 11 a.m. in person or via live stream on Zoom. You can find the Zoom link and more about Unitarian Universalism in Savannah at our website, uusavannah.org. We hope you enjoy today's program.
Good morning. I am Mary Garofalo, and I'll be serving as worship associate today. Welcome to the Unitarian Universalist Church of Savannah. Our service today is our annual all-music service, coordinated and led by our director of music, Becca Flaherty. Mira Brigman will bring our love at the center moment. Our worship, religious education, and covenant group theme for May is Awakening Curiosity. Here at the UU Church of Savannah, we are working to build a diverse, multicultural, and beloved community. We celebrate the presence and participation of people of all races, genders, sexual orientation, abilities, and ethnic and national origins. We warmly welcome you on YouTube and on site, whoever you know yourself to be and wherever you are in your journey. Looking for a new faith community, we encourage you to visit several times to get a feel for our worship style and our approach to matters of faith and religion. It's good to have you all here. Please join us in Ron Hall for refreshments and conversation following the service. You'll find Ron Hall in the next building by following the crowd through these doors here or through the front doors or just ask an usher. There are two cards in the pew back in front of you to help us gather information for the good of our community. Use the QR code on the Rainbow Chalice card to sign up for our newsletter and to receive a welcome letter from our minister. Or if you prefer, fill the card out by hand. The card with the red heart and chalice is for sharing a joy or sorrow. If you fill out either of these cards, please put it in the collection plate as it comes around. After the story for all ages, the children will stay in the sanctuary. And after the offering, we'll sing a short responses. The lyrics are printed in the order of service. Church announcements are emailed to members and friends on Tuesdays and Friday. Check your email for complete details about the following. The UUCS on June 27th, Saturday at 2:30, will be hosting the Beatles. Tickets starting at $15 for front row, back row, and balcony seats. Join the Green Team for a bird walk with Eric Swanson. If you've never been on a bird walk, then you are in for a treat. The bird walk is on May 24th, Sunday at 6 p.m. You must RSVP, so please check the e-blast for the phone number. With the lighting of our chalice, symbol of our Unitarian Universalist faith, we enter into sacred time. Our chalice lighter this morning is Lola. Life is a gift for which we are grateful. Gathered in community, we light our chalice to celebrate the glories and the mysteries of this gift. Words by Marjorie Montgomery. Call to worship. Music arises from depths unknown, often without words, but never without meaning. And spirit rises from deep within us, seducing our bodies to join the song, first in tremor in the soul, then tapping of toes, breath aligns with breath, heart beats in syncopation, and the stuttering buzz in our throats becomes a hum, breath, beat with beat, and music and spirit arise together. Wed with faith and hope and love and power, a song is born, bursting from our lips in sweet, sonorous symphony, a melody joining with other souls, perhaps in tune, perhaps not, but a song still, arising from deep within and from community, spirit moves. Our breath, song, and hope fills life. We are not alone, but can we keep from singing? Words by Arlen Goff.
And join us in singing hymn number 346. Come sing a song with me.
Reading a book, you two ready to go? Okay. Called We Shall Overcome. Are any of you guys familiar with this song, We Shall Overcome? You're not? Well, you're lucky because I think we're going to sing it next. But it's one of my favorite songs, and this is the story of where it came from. Back in slavery times, when enslaved people worked long days with no pay and no say, no freedom, no fairness, no choice, and no chance, the people sang. They suffered, yet they sang. to soothe the hurt, to fight the cruelty, to declare that yes, they were human beings. So on the pages, you'll see some of the words from the song we're all gonna sing together. It says, I'll be all right, I'll be all right, I'll be all right someday. Oh, deep in my heart, I do believe I'll be all right someday. So in some songs, there's repetition, where you say the same line over and over again. You might find the same thing in a poem. Why do you guys think we repeat words in a song like that? Patty? To make the main idea clear. Yeah, and to kind of like seal it inside of you, right? So sort of like a mantra that you might say to yourself every day as a reminder. It's nice sometimes to repeat things over and over, so you'll find that in this song. It took a war, the Civil War, to end slavery. But even after, white people treated black people as less than fully human. Excluding them, ignoring them, blaming them, even attacking them, all because of the color of their skin. Black people were no longer slaves, it was true, but they were not truly free. Still, they believed things would get better. Still, they sang, I'll overcome someday, I'll overcome someday. If in my heart I do not yield, I'll overcome someday. Sometimes when I hear repetition like that in a song, it's almost like a tattoo on your heart that you'll remember. It wasn't easy to believe. It wasn't easy when white people shut out African Americans from good jobs and good pay, schools and libraries and neighborhoods, restaurants and hotels and bathrooms, train cars and bus seats, playgrounds and parks. But black Americans, and some white Americans, did believe they could overcome the unfairness, hate, and violence. They started to protest. They brought a church song, I Will Overcome, to the streets. But since they were marching and working together, they sang, we will overcome. We together will overcome. Have any of you guys ever been to a protest or a march or a rally where people all sing together? It's pretty powerful, isn't it? They sang, we will overcome, we will overcome, we will overcome someday. Oh, deep in my heart, I do believe we will overcome someday. From the streets, the song reached the ears of city people, country people, followers, and leaders. It reached Martin Luther King Jr., the most important leader working for justice for African Americans. He took the song with him in his heart wherever he traveled. The words changed a little, but the spirit stayed the same. We shall overcome, we shall overcome, we shall overcome someday. Oh, deep in my heart, I do believe we shall overcome someday. And I think this man here who's holding the banjo, I think that's Pete Seeger, who's a folk singer. And he took the song all over America, too, as another type of genre of music and introduced it to lots of people. There were many forms of race hatred and many ways to fight it. Some students fought by sitting down in restaurants and asking to be served. They didn't ask for free food. They didn't want special service. They just wanted to buy a meal like any white person could. The students sat and sat waiting for hamburgers, donuts, and sodas that never came. The students sat and waited until they were arrested. And as they were taken away to jail, they sang, we are not afraid. We are not afraid. We are not afraid today. More and more people decided to stand up for rights for African Americans. One small group, the Freedom Singers, traveled 50,000 miles in 9 months to living rooms, concert halls, elementary schools, jails, high schools, and rallies, bringing We Shall Overcome to people in 40 states, inspiring them to believe that change was coming. We are not alone. We are not alone. We are not alone today. The biggest gathering of people united in support of fairness for African Americans took place in the nation's capital. marching toward the Lincoln Memorial, hundreds of thousands of people, black and white and young and old, joined hands, joined voices, and sang, "We walk hand in hand, we walk hand in hand, we walk hand in hand someday." Slowly, slowly, things were changing. Laws were passed, but race hatred stayed strong, even stronger than laws. So President Lyndon Johnson gave a speech. His ancestors once held slaves in Texas and Georgia. But President Johnson looked out at the millions of people watching him on television, spoke of equal rights, human rights, and voting rights for African Americans, and recited the words of the song. So the song went from enslaved people all over the country to the president. "We must overcome the crippling legacy of bigotry and injustice, and we shall overcome." How could such a song stay in one country? It could not. "We Shall Overcome" sailed across the oceans to other countries where people faced injustice. It traveled to South Africa, where black Africans embraced it as their own freedom song in their long struggle against an all-white government that treated them as outcasts in their own land. Black and white together, black and white together, black and white together, someday. The song traveled to India, East Germany, South Korea, Czechoslovakia, Northern Ireland, Bangladesh, China, the Middle East, South America, wherever people worked for a better life. "We will live in peace. We will live in peace. We will live in peace someday." Even as it spread across the globe, the song never really left its American home. It took a very long time, but race hatred did grow weaker. Freedom grew stronger. President Lyndon Johnson was followed by another president, and another, another, and another, and another, and another, and another, and then the people of the United States, black and white and young and old, elected an African-American man to be their president. Who was that?
Barack Obama.
Yeah, Barack Obama. On that day, people sang the song that so many voices had sung before in pain and in protest. On that day, they sang in happiness, "Oh, deep in my heart, I do believe we shall overcome someday." Today, people still struggle against hatred and for freedom, against poverty and for fairness, against despair and for hope. We still sing. We sing to declare that, yes, we are all human beings, deserving of respect, sharing the same planet, the same future, together. So when you guys, you kids, sing today, pay attention to how the song makes you feel, to sing it with a whole group of people who are fighting injustice and fighting hatred and arguing for freedom and equality all together. And we are all staying downstairs today. The kids are joining us for the whole service today. So all of you guys here, there's a coloring table. There's crosswords. There's color by number. There's word searches. There's tons of stuff on clipboards and lots of coloring things. If we run out of coloring things, we will overcome and share. So please enjoy the music, guys. We're so happy to be here with everybody today.
We Mira
Bergman will give us Center of Love. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I confess, when I signed up for this, I did not realize it was All Music Sunday. I was thinking originally of picking out a nice love poem. At least that would have been lyrical. Sadly, that's not where I landed. So if you'll bear with me, I'm going to read you an excerpt from a judicial opinion, actually. A little drier. Yeah. But I still think it's love-related. It's a... Again, not as mushy as perhaps the poem I was originally thinking of, but it's, sometimes love is sticking up for what's right and defending the people that you care about, and I really liked what the judge had to say in this case. I'm not sure if you're familiar with this one. It's a recent opinion from the Federal District Court out in Oregon. The state of Oregon, as well as several other states, have brought an action against Robert F. Kennedy, our Secretary of HHS. This is Judge Mustafa Kasubai. If you haven't heard of this case, just real briefly, what we're talking about here is Secretary Kennedy had made a declaration on the safety or efficacy of health care pertaining to transgender youth. And there wasn't a whole lot of warning with this. I won't go too dry in the legal part of this, but there are laws about how laws are supposed to be made. It's kind of, again, attorneys might enjoy it, but I'll leave this to the opening part of it, where he really speaks to more of the general idea and what I think is the expression of love here. In the judge's words, he says, "Unserious leaders are unsafe. There is nothing more serious than our leaders' dedication to the rule of law so that we might maintain the integrity of our constitutional democracy. This case highlights a leader's unserious regard for the rule of law. This case demonstrates how disregard for the rule of law does not merely result in an abstract infraction. Rather, and tragically, this case is one of a long list of examples of how a leader's wanton disregard for the rule of law causes very real harm to very real people." This court can and does judge the lawfulness of the process, or lack thereof, by any policy choice might be made, of which any... Here, the Secretary of Health and Human Services, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., unlawfully issued a declaration threatening to cut federal funding to medical providers who provided gender-affirming care to minors. If such a declaration could have been enacted lawfully, there might have been ample time and opportunity for medical providers, families, and children, all people and institutions of our great nation, to seek out other alternatives and options. Secretary Kennedy's utter failure to promulgate rules in accordance with statutory authority, but instead threatened to cease federal funding to medical providers almost immediately after the declaration, caused chaos and terror for all those people and institutions of our great nation. Secretary Kennedy's unlawful declaration harmed children. This case illustrates that when a leader acts without authority and in the absence of the rule of law, he acts with cruelty. So, again, the technical part of this case is under the Administrative Procedures Act. It's about the law that makes laws. Not really juicy stuff that you see lawyers spreading with others. Maybe we agree with it. But having a judge speak out like this is, I believe, very much an act of love. He continues in the conclusion. Oops. This court can scarcely recall an APA action that has come before it in which the agency's action was so clearly unlawful. Indeed, many of the defendant's arguments rest on the same falsehoods about the Kennedy Declaration and its effects that the court already rejected in response to their jurisdictional arguments. Defendant's merits briefing takes these absurd arguments a step further by suggesting that finding the Kennedy Declaration unlawful would impinge on Secretary Kennedy's First Amendment rights to express his views and hinder public debate. Defendants cannot bully or gaslight this court into ignoring the many procedural and legal flaws of the Kennedy Declaration by invoking one of the most sacred principles of our constitutional democracy, the freedom of speech, when their principle comes nowhere close to being implicated. Plaintiff's claims do not contest that Secretary Kennedy's rights to express his views on gender-affirming care, and their lawsuit does not seek to limit Secretary Kennedy's ability to speak generally about gender-affirming care. Rather, plaintiff's claims challenge his authority to unilaterally, categorically, and without any process, supersede professional standards of care regarding gender-affirming care that apply to the plaintiff's states. Plaintiff Secretary Kennedy's First Amendment rights are not even at issue, much less offended. However, several other principles sacred to our constitutional democracy are. So, I loved it. I hope you did too.
Invitation to generosity. Let there be an offering to sustain and strengthen this place, which is sacred to so many of us, a community of memory and of hope, for we are now the keepers of the dream. To donate via debit or credit card, please use the QR code on the back of the order of service, or go to www.uusavannah.org and click the donate button. Mail checks are also welcomed. Our offering will now be gratefully received. Thank you for your generosity. One another's joys and sorrows as if they were our own. I have a joy from Rita Oliverio. Congratulations on your daughter's graduation. What an accomplishment to earn an MBA while working. And another joy, Tish Hamilton tells me, her daughter is graduating this week with a degree in chemistry from Barnard College, the Women's College of Columbia University in New York. And the commencement speaker is professor, writer, and transgender activist Jennifer Finney Bolin. The Swanson family is overjoyed to be celebrating Finley's 10th birthday tomorrow, May 18th. Cupcakes in Rand Hall. And then I have some here. Let's see. Amelia Upton. My friend Patrick and I got a superior rating, the highest score at solo ensemble. Yay! Yeah. Miss Megan, I'm so proud of all the hard work our youth put into their schoolwork this year. I can't wait to celebrate and have fun with you this summer. Yay! And from Caitlin. Caitlin's father's heart surgery was my brother. It was a success. His next surgery has been delayed. Please pray if all goes well. And I have a joy. There are two calves in Vermont, Mildred and Troop, were brought back to Maryland, the Rosie Sanctuary Farm. They were going to be slaughtered up in Vermont, so these two people, a daughter and a father, put them in their Subaru and drove them down. There is a film on them called Go Cow, if you want to see it. As we mourn together,
so we celebrate together,
and offer thanks
that we are not alone.
So may it be now and all the days to come.
Can't always get what you want. is Cross That Line, a poem by Naomi Shihab Nye. Paul Robeson stood on the northern border of the USA and sang into Canada, where a vast audience sat on folding chairs waiting to hear him. He sang into Canada. His voice left the USA when his body was not allowed to cross that line. Remind us again, brave friend, what countries may we sing into? What lines should we all be crossing? What songs travel toward us from far away places to deepen our days?
I love the fact that this poem follows that song. The reason I chose this poem is because I really do think that music reaches across generations, poverty, rich, poor, whoever, people love music, and when you're touched by music, you remember that moment forever. So anyway, here we go. The Machinist, Teaching His Daughter to Play the Piano by B.H. Fairchild. The Art of the Lathe. The brown wrist and hand with its raw knuckles and blue nails, packed with dirt and oil, paws in midair, the fingers arch delicately. She mimics him. Handheld, just so, the wrist loose, then sweeping down to the wrong chord. She lifts her hand and tries again. Drill collars rumble, hammering the nubbin post. The helper lifts one, turning it slowly, then lugs it back to the lathe's chuck. The bit shears the dull iron into a new metal, falling into a steady chant of lathe work. The Machinist lights a cigarette, holding his upturned palms, the polonaise he learned to tend, and later the easiest waltzes. Etudes, impossible counterpoint, the voice of his daughter he overhears one night, standing in the backyard. She is speaking to herself, but not herself, as if in prayer. The listener is some version of herself, and the names are pronounced carefully, self-consciously. Chopin, Mozart, Scarlatti. These gestures of voice and hands suspended over the keyboard. The music, like a lathe in its turning, towards music, the wind dragging, the hoist chain, the ring of iron on iron in the holding rack. His daughter speaks to him one night, but not to him, rather someone created between them, a listener there and not there, a master of lathes, a student of music.
Thank you. This is something that I wrote for Music Sunday. My life's soundtrack. All my earliest memories include music. My father played the trumpet in the Army during World War II and gave trumpet lessons in our living room to supplement his elementary school principal's salary when we children were all under the age of six. Our family sang when we traveled to visit our grandparents in Connecticut, New Hampshire, Working on the Railroad, How Much Is That Doggy in the Window, You Are My Sunshine, One Horse Open Sleigh, and White Choral Bells as Around, to name a few. Both of my grandmothers played the piano as we sang along. Different songs, same energy. My parents had early fancy stereo equipment and albums of marching songs, jazz, and classical trumpet. Every parade takes me back to the hours spent marching to the music played in my childhood home. I wanted to learn to play the harp. I took violin lessons. My parents explained that the harp was a stringed instrument like the violin, so I could transition to it later. The last time I played the violin was in the Lakes Region Symphony. I was pregnant with my first child, who is soon turning 47. Christmas morning, 1962, my first album, Elvis Presley, Blue Hawaii, was under the tree next to a record player. I can't remember a single song, but I do remember how that 11-year-old me felt. Bliss. The Beatles, Rubber Soul, and all the rest, sitting on the window seat in my very first best friend's bedroom. We learned all the words and loved all the songs, 7th, 8th, and 9th grade. All our troubles seemed so far away. I heard the Motown sound on the streets of Wilmington, Delaware in 1967. I didn't have a clue about the civil rights struggle, but I danced to the music, and I still do. Dylan, Donovan, Joan Baez, and Peter, Paul, and Mary all joined rock and roll to create the soundtrack of my last 2 years in high school, 1968 and 1969, were years of political strife and my awakening. A war was going on, women were treated as second-class citizens, and the environment was being destroyed. When there was cheering in the halls of my high school as the intercom announced a day off because of Martin Luther King's assassination, I was devastated. White privilege in action. We Shall Overcome became my anthem. The Moody Blues, On the Threshold of a Dream, added a beautiful orchestration and was a fine addition to the music accumulating since Elvis. I heard it for the first time in an off-campus apartment. Senior boys, freshman girls, not much furniture, but plenty of pot. No one from that party joined me at Boston Common the next day for the war protest. John loved the Stones, I favored Dylan and Donovan. We shared our love of music, politics, reading and writing. At a time when our friends were living together, we went radical and got married. Michael Legrand, The Summer Knows, and Beethoven's Moonlight Sonata, music for our wedding in 1972 on top of a mountain looking to the lakes. So romantic. Our wedding present to each other, very fancy stereo equipment. Jesse Cohen Young's Together was our love song. John's records were in much better shape than mine. My musical tastes were more eclectic. He gave me detailed instructions on how to handle vinyl properly. No stacks on the turntable. We played albums one at a time. The CD years arrived with the children. The records were stored, the vinyl was taking a break, but the music never stopped. Bagpipes at the Scottish Games, Symphony Hall in Boston, piano recitals, school recorder and choir concerts, Jazz Fest, Summer Music Festival, the organ at Notre Dame before the fire. The list could go on. And of course, singing in the car together. The vinyl came back into our living room in 2016. We had a wooden rack, record rack from a used record store with four bins on top for standing records to browse and eight sections below for storing more records. Additionally, we ordered special cubes that held 125 records each. We needed 12 to finish storing more than 2,000 albums. John spent months organizing the albums alphabetically by genre between weeks spent in the hospital for chemo treatments. The month before he died, we listened to music every day. I would count to the 7th album from the last one played, and we would continue until he was too tired to listen to more. We spent a week in Dylan. I don't remember the last album we played, but I do remember that he fell asleep in the recliner with a puppy on his lap. John and I collected albums throughout our marriage. They now live with my daughter, who organized them with an app. The fall after John's death, I stood on a square in Bath, England, crying as the sopranos sang an aria from La Traviata, taking me back to the last year John was healthy when we visited the opera in Venice. The music broke through the numbness of his loss. Music found me again when I visited the Unitarian Church in Plymouth, New Hampshire. Singing in the choir lifted my depression and gave me something to look forward to twice a week. Thanks to my violin, I could read all that new music. I finally bought a harp before the COVID lockdown, and struggled unsuccessfully to learn with the help of the internet. Now, with my actual harp teacher, thank you, Becca, I am finding the joy I always knew was waiting for me as a harpist. UU Savannah embraced me with music and friendship, and I'm learning how to sing. I knew I was where I belonged when, at the conclusion of the Martin Luther King concert, we all joined hands and sang, "We Shall Overcome." I sang and cried and knew the music had led me home.
Also younger than the sun. Here the Bonnie Pope was born, has been sailed into the mystic. Hark now, hear the sailors cry. Smell the sea, touch the sky. Let our soul and spirits fly into the mystic. And when that foghorn blows, I will be coming home. When that foghorn blows, I want to hear it. Don't wanna feel it. I wanna rock your gypsy soul, just like back in the days of old. Together we will float into the mystic. Foghorn blows, you know I will be coming home. When that foghorn blows, I want to hear it. Don't have to fear it. Ha, ha. rock your gypsy soul. Just like back in the days of old, we will float together, we will float into the mystic.
Once again, will you please rise as you are willing and able and turn to your hymn books, number 36.
Thank you.
benediction. And now, let us go forth, singing the blues, singing hymns of praise, scatting, rapping, crooning, singing sharp zooming notes, like the sounds of the city, gentle, breathy notes, like the cool evening breeze, singing all the notes of our days with feeling. Amen.
This is Reverend Lisa Day. I hope you've enjoyed this program from the Unitarian Universalist Church of Savannah. Please join us at one of our services sometime soon at our church on Troop Square or live on Zoom. We're the beacon of liberal religion in Savannah, and you can find out more at uusavannah.org. We meet on Sundays at 11 a.m. Thanks for listening.